I'm going to talk a little bit about connections. So if you look up on the screen, we've got computer connections and AV and audio connections, circuit boards and all kinds of stuff. Connections are a big part of our world, wouldn't you say? That there are physical connections like these up here. Or you might have the connections like this. This is a subway map that each little circle is one of the subway stops. And if you were riding the subway and you wanted to know where you wanted to go, maybe you wanted to go to the New London Amphitheater there, you're probably going to take the blue line, right? Connections help us get from one place to another. If you look up at this, we got some toys up here. Do we have anybody play with Kinects before? Yeah, so Kinects make lots of cool connections, right? Or have you played the game Kinect 4? Maybe you're like totally awesome at it. I don't know. But sometimes connections can be fun, and we can just have some good time playing some games. How many of you guys have ever played Connect the Dots? Yep. So you draw a line, your friend draws a line, and then whoever actually gets to make the square gets to put their initial inside, right? Yep, and then you count up how many squares you get. So those are some different kinds of connections. I know you guys like wiring. Maybe you guys are into like electrical stuff. There's some crazy cool patterns. Sometimes you've got like, if you think about your brain, there's all kinds of like neurons in your brain, all these kinds of connections that happen inside your body. Kind of maybe looks like that kind of web of connections and wires up there. Or maybe you are into telephones and iPods and iPhones and devices, and maybe your connections are digital, and maybe they're referring to satellites all over the world, and you're connecting over the internet, or you're connecting with people over the telephone or over text messaging. Or maybe your connections are like up here. Whoop, I don't know why it doesn't want to go to that picture. There it is. Some of you are up there right now. That's our trip from Kalamazoo. What kind of connections are those guys making? Not just friendship connections. They're making another connection. What's in their hand? Carabiner. What happens if they don't connect their carabiner to the safety line? They'll die. Yeah, that's bad. They could fall. So they're making a physical connection with these tethers and the carabiners on the high ropes course, right? Now, they are, you know, connecting with each other in friendship, too, but that wasn't what I was going for there. Check out this little picture. It says connections are everywhere. And look, this is like connecting two different countries, right? Or two different cities, perhaps, with one giant bridge across the water. So how about you? Let me just give me some feedback from the audience here. What kind of connections do you make on a daily basis? And they can be all over the place. Wi-Fi? Phone? School? Learning? Okay, connecting with your teacher, connecting with what your topic is, what you're learning. What else? During the week, you're connecting with communities, like people. Okay? You can connect with food. Me and this pizza are one. Yeah, okay, I got you. All right, what other like physical connections do you make? Do you ever plug in your phone charger? Yeah. What else? You ever connect your Xbox or your PlayStation or whatever? Maybe you go Bluetooth and you connect your headset to your device, or you got like a, I don't know, Bluetooth speaker and you're playing your music, right? What's that? Beats. You got your Beats. It's good, right? All right, so if you turn in your book, if you're on page 19, I'm going to give you the quick fill-in. We're going to do a little quick illustration about this guy. How many of you guys know who Shaun White is? Snowboarder. Here he is. He's got red hair. He's also an Olympic athlete and won several gold medals. I thought it'd be fun for you guys to hear a little bit about Shaun White and hear, not just hear, but actually see. This is the 2010 Olympics. He is going for the gold medal, and this is one of his final runs where he pulls off like a never-before-done trick in the Olympics. Pretty sick. So anyway, take a look. Oh, there you go. He won the run with 48.4 score out of 50 and took home the gold. Pretty awesome. Here's what you might not know about him, okay? That obviously he gets big air. And if we're talking about going vertical, I think Shaun White definitely gets props for getting some air. But check this out. Did you know that Red Bull was one of his sponsors? One of his largest corporate sponsors built on the backside of Silverton Mountain in Colorado, Shaun's dream half pipe. The only way to get to his private halfpipe was by helicopter. And there he experimented and bona fide his craft in the private, away from all the media. No buddies, no entourage, no reporters, no paparazzi to worry about. No way to go back and tell what Shaun was doing and no way to give away his trade secrets. He stood up there and he practiced and he practiced and he practiced and he prepared for the Olympics. You guys, that's ridiculous. I don't know about you, but I don't have enough money to go buy my own private mountain and put my own private half pipe on it and go and practice in my own little ski resort, right? But here's the deal. The Olympics were so important to him. Winning the gold was so important to him that he set aside this space and this time, and he went off alone and he prepared. For us, if we really want to get some air and go vertical, like, you know, we're talking about snowboarding, but in our relationship with God, you've got to go off and get alone. You've got to go off and get some time just with you and God, just with you and Jesus. And that's what those magazines that you guys just grabbed are part of that deal. So there's your illustration. Sean White, there's this picture. The Christian life can be summed up in these perspectives. Passion for God is your fill-in, and compassion for people. To know Christ and to make him known. And then to love God and love people. And we've got Matthew 22 there. It's kind of a famous section. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And that's actually one of the memory verses in your key ring, is to love your neighbor as yourself. All right, so here's the deal. If we're going to talk about establishing a relationship with God, how do you start a relationship with God? Maybe you've never put your faith in him, and maybe you'll have an opportunity later tonight to actually do that. Here's the deal. God loves us and has a great plan. That's the fill-in for us. In John 10, it says, my purpose is to give life in all its fullness. And then in Jeremiah, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Okay, everybody say, God loves you. Everybody say, God loves me. Yeah. He totally does. And that's the first thing. You want to learn how to share your faith with somebody? Start with, you know what? Start with God's amazing love for you and for me. Here's the second one, and I think you guys have heard this stuff before. If you're already a follower of Christ, this will be a little review, and maybe you can embrace it so that you could share it with someone else. If this is new to you, I pray that you would grab a hold of it and maybe put your faith in God later tonight. Here's the second part. We are all sinners. We all make mistakes. We're all messed up. If you think of it this way, we're all born with a death sentence on our head. Does that sound weird? You're all born, everybody on the planet is born with this guilty death sentence on them, okay? And Jesus comes along and he offers to take your place on death row, okay? That you could go free, the judge would let you go free, and that Jesus would take your place in jail and then ultimately die. And that's what he did on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he was God's son, he had never sinned, he dies, he endures all that punishment and pain and suffering. And the cool part is, we don't worship a dead God. We worship a God who rose again 3 days later and proved he was God, and then offers eternal life and forgiveness to anybody who would ask. So here's the deal. We're all sinners. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. And then the result of that sin, what's the result of that sin? Well, I think I told you that death sentence we've got on our head. The result of that sin is separation from God. And you know what your death sentence is? It's a spiritual death sentence that you, if you're going to pay for your own sin, then you have to suffer in hell in eternity. That doesn't sound fun. That sounds horrible. And hell is a real place. We can't just hop in the car and drive there. It's a spiritual realm kind of a thing. All right? But everybody's soul is going to live on for eternity in either one of two places, either with God in heaven or in hell. Separated from God. And that's the result. That's what our sin earns. And that's where you get Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then in Isaiah, it is our sins that separate you from God. So we've got this. God loves you. We've made mistakes. We're sinners. And the result of that sin is separation from God. Here's the next ones. And then this is the great news. Jesus paid the price for our sin. I think you guys know that. Would somebody read John 14:6?
Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
You guys, that's a great verse and a very difficult verse. Do you know why I like it and don't like it at the same time? Well, I know people who don't follow Jesus. So what does that mean for them? Well, they can't come to the Father unless they come to Jesus. And that makes my heart sad for the friends and the family that I know that don't know God. For you, I hope that you know God and that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Here's what Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the fill-in. And then after you've got all that, God loves you, we're sinners, we have the separation from God, then Jesus pays the price for our sin. Here's the last part. You can accept Christ by asking him into your heart. Now, that sounds kind of weird. And in our day and age, does that make any sense to people? Like, how do you take Jesus and put him in your heart? Like, you can't take a person and do that. That's weird. And do you do that with anything else? Like, food doesn't go in there. Like, it's blood and it pumps. So the analogy is kind of weird. So let me put it this way. Another way to say that is to put your faith in Christ and what he did for you. Here's what John 3:16, who knows that by heart? Anybody know that by heart? Who wants to read that just off the top of their head?
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
All right, so God loved who so much? Us, the world, everybody in the world. So much that he did what? Well, according to the verse, what did he do? Okay, think about that. If you were a mom or a dad, you gave up your only child for strangers, for messed up, dirty sinners, okay? One thing to give your life for another family member, right? Maybe you would be bold enough to do that. But for the whole world, for other people, like, there's no way I'd give up my kids for anybody, right? God gives up his sacrifices, his son, for you and for me, all right? And then here's what Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everybody, check this out. Think of the absolute worst, grossest, murderous, killerist, there's not even a word, killerist, the most vile, rotten, dirty person that you can imaginably think of, okay? Don't give me names. I don't want to hear names. But check it out. If that worst person came to Jesus and asked for forgiveness, what's God going to do? He's going to say yes. Sadie, that's crazy. You know, in my heart, there's people on this planet I don't think should be forgiven. There's people in history that I don't think deserve to be forgiven. But you know what? God says anybody who will confess that he's the Lord, that he is the Savior, that if they put their faith in him, that God will forgive. Here's what's good news for me and you. You ever think you screwed up too bad that God can't forgive you? Maybe you got a sin that you just do over and over and over again, and you get tired of asking God for forgiveness for it. Here's the cool part. God's grace and his love is so big and extends so far that he forgives all of it if you will keep a soft heart and keep repenting and keep turning to him. He'll forgive you over and over and over and over again and have a friendship with you. And that's awesome and crazy. That's a crazy kind of love, right? All right, so you can be assured of your salvation. Check this out. This is crazy, but God says, look, you can know right now on planet Earth and be assured that you're going to be forgiven and have a relationship with God and go to heaven someday. You guys, when I was your age, there was a pastor that at the church I went to, and he would pray at the end of every service and say, hey, if you don't know for sure if you've given your life to Jesus, come down front and pray every Sunday. And I was too shy. I would never go. I'd pray in my seat probably 50, 100 times because I wanted to be forgiven. I prayed that prayer of forgiveness over and over and over because I didn't know if it worked. I didn't feel any different particularly. And I wondered, am I really forgiven? Did it really count? And I love this verse because when I came upon it, God put it on my heart that I didn't need to keep praying that prayer anymore because I really was good and I really was forgiven. And I love this one. It says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Check this out. So that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John 5:13. Great verse there. Good verse for anybody who's doubting and wondering, did it really count? Did it really work? Did you really put your faith in Jesus? If you did, God's like, yeah, you're good to go. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand, says John 10:28. So check this out. Have you ever done that? Have you ever asked God to forgive all of your sin and to put your faith in what Jesus did 2,000 years ago? For you and for me, that you believe that he was God, that you believe that he died for you, that you want to ask him for forgiveness and put your faith in him. That's how you begin a relationship with God. It doesn't matter if you grew up in the church. It doesn't matter if your mom and dad believe or your brother or sister. This is something every individual person's got to decide for themselves. Do you want to follow Jesus or not? And you got to kind of count the cost because check it out. Following Jesus isn't easy. Asking him for forgiveness is a great start, but then he wants you to actually follow him and obey him and do the things that God asks you to do in the Bible. That is not an easy journey, but it's an awesome one, and it's a better way to live, and it's something I have done and many of you have done and your leaders have done. But if you are sitting here and you're like, you know what, I'm not sure if I ever did that, I'm going to just pray a prayer right now that you could put your faith in God, and then we're going to move on. And then after that step, what do? After that, well, you grow, and that's where we're going to go next. So, but if you're ready to pray, or you want to, or hey, you know what? Maybe you did it a long time ago, and you're like, I think I need to do that again. You can pray that with me right now. So go ahead, close your eyes and just talk to God with me. If this is where you're at and you've never put your faith in God or you want to renew that commitment, here we go. God, I believe that you love me. And I believe that you care about me. And right now, I want to say I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the sins that I've done, for the mistakes that I've made, for the things that I've done that have made you unhappy. God, forgive me for all my sin, my past, present, future sin, all of it. I'm sorry. And right now, I want to put my faith in you, Jesus. I believe that you are God and that you died on the cross for my sin and that you offer forgiveness to anyone who asks. And I'm asking right now, would you forgive me? I want to start a friendship with you, a relationship with you. Would you help me grow? Would you protect me and keep me safe? And would you give me strength by your Spirit to follow you? In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Cool. Hey, if you prayed with me that prayer tonight, would you do me a favor? Just let your life group leader know tonight. I'm sure they would love to encourage you and build you up. That would be awesome. All right, so here's an interesting question. Some people wonder, can your faith be broken? Can you actually lose your salvation, your forgiveness? Can that relationship be broken? And that's an important question and kind of a scary one to ask, right? And I would say this. I don't believe that it can. I don't believe that you can lose your salvation or your forgiveness. But I do believe that some people who think they are forgiven may not be. That some people who think they're following God, maybe they really aren't. That maybe they never really put their faith in Jesus to begin with. Here's what I wanted to follow up with. It says this. In the Bible, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. I tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers.'" That's kind of a scary thing. That some people may think that they put their faith in God. Maybe they mentally they know the whole story. Maybe mentally and intellectually they get what God did, but personally they never invited Jesus into their heart. They never asked God for forgiveness. They never put their faith in Him really. And that's a scary moment for those people. And they're going to be surprised at the end of their life when they die and they're faced before God. And God's like, "No, man, you never gave me your heart. You never followed me, really." That's a scary thing, right? So I don't believe you can lose it if you really meant it in the first place. But I believe some people may think that they're good, but perhaps they're not. And here's the interesting thing. It says these people who assumed that they were in. Here's what Romans 10 says, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, is the fill-in, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I think that's the key word, believing in your heart. If you've done that, God says you're in, you're forgiven if you put your faith in him. Just because you know a lot of Bible stories, though, and just because you grew up around the church doesn't mean it's automatic for you. You know, it's interesting, the Chinese language doesn't have a word for Lord. So they translate it boss, which is interesting, right? So if you read it differently, right, that making God your boss, believing that he's the new one in charge, right? So how do you know if that's really true of you? Well, God gives us kind of a test, and it says by their fruit you will recognize them. So here's a quick example. How do you know if somebody's really a Christian or really a follower of God? Well, here's a silly illustration. If it looks like a horse and acts like a horse, right? So let's say you're in a field and you walk by this field and you see what looks like a horse and it smells like a horse and it always acts like a horse and it's running around with other horses and it's eating hay and it's doing the things that horses do, then what is it? It's probably a horse, right? So if you see someone resembling the world, who looks like the world and smells like the world and talks like the world and acts like the world, then perhaps they're of the world and not of God. Are you with me? And then if someone is loving and kind and caring and compassionate and you see their character come out of their friendships and they're loving and helpful and have a heart to serve, then those are some good indications, some fruit in their life that maybe they're a follower of God, you know? All right, so that's the whole first section, you and God connecting, all right? Now we're going to go to the next part, which is growing. Okay, we talked about reaching up. Now we're going to talk about reaching in. How do you nurture that relationship? Well, spiritual maturity is not a level that you attain, right? So you don't just wake up like a year from now and you're like, "Ha ha, I am just like Jesus. I don't need to go to church anymore. I don't need to love anybody anymore. I don't need to ask forgiveness anymore. I am mature now in Christ. I am an awesome believer. That's not going to happen. Okay? Until the day you die, you and I are going to be struggling to follow God and give him our best. And there's always room to grow. I don't care how old you are and how much you know. There's always room to grow, you know? All right, so until we die, we're going to keep on changing. And if we're doing the will of God, that's what Beth Moore has to say. In Colossians 2, it says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, root it up, and build it in him. So how do we grow? Well, I'm not sure if this is kind of a weird phrase to me, this mog and wog idea. I don't know who made that up. It's kind of goofy. But being a man of God or a woman of God, they kind of made a weird acronym out of that. I don't know if you really want to walk around school and be like, yo, I'm going to be a mog. Like, dude, is that a frog? No, it's a sog. It's a bog? What is it? That's weird. No one ever becomes godly by accident. The fill-in is that it's your choice. So discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Physical exercise has some value, but spiritual exercise is much more important, for it promises a reward in both this life and the next. That's from 1 Timothy. So maybe you've seen the movie Tomorrowland, or maybe you've heard the old wives' tale about the two dogs or the two wolves. Do you guys remember this? If you had two dogs side by side, one dog is good and one dog is bad, and they battle each other, which dog is going to win? The one you feed. And the idea is you've got a good side and a bad side inside of you, a sinful side and a righteous side inside of you. There's this battle. Which dog are you going to feed? If you feed the bad dog, the sin in your life, that one's going to grow and you're going to be more and more sinful, okay, and more disconnected from God. You got the good dog inside of you and you feed that and it's going to grow, and you feed it things like the word of God and worship and prayer and friendships that are good and coming to church and going to youth group and building a life on Jesus. That's going to grow in you, and that dog is going to win the battle. All right, so there you go. You got two little dogs. Right? Okay. All right, so this is some other ways that you grow. Having time with God. Now, a lot of people call it quiet time, but I got to be honest, I don't really like that phrase, because your time with God doesn't have to be quiet. To me, that sounds like a timeout. I'm serious. Like, all growing up, I'm like, yeah, go have a timeout with God. I'm like, but I hate timeout. I don't like sitting on the steps for however old I am. You know, like we did that in our house. However old you were, it's how many minutes you had to sit out and time out, right? So one time I got in trouble and my kids are like, you got to sit out for your age. I'm like, oh, dang, that's more than a half an hour. Okay. all right, so here it is. Get alone with God, and that's spending some time with him. And it doesn't have to be quiet. You could do that in worship. You could go for a walk. You could enjoy nature. Write a poem. Write a song. Write a worship song. Write out your prayers. Thank God for what you see in creation. You know, it could be creative. So how do you spell the word love? It's T-I-M-E. Spelling, how do you love God? It's give him some time, okay? And this is what Louis Giglio says this, we worship what we value most. That's the fill-in. So what do you value most? Do you value your video games and your Xbox and PlayStation the most? Do you value snack food and drinks and snacks and pizzas the most? Do you value your wardrobe and your closet and your shoes and your outfits and your purses? Do you value your makeup or your hair or the way that you look? Do you value having the coolest, latest, neatest electronic gizmos? What do you value? And he says, you know what? Take a little look at your heart. Look in the mirror. See the things you value, and that's probably what you worship. All right, so how do we spend some time with God, and why should we? Joshua says, study the book of the law continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be sure to obey what is written in it. Only then will you succeed. Oh, sorry, we missed the what does love look like. We'll go back and grab that. All right, so if somebody was crazy in love with somebody else, what might that look like, okay? If they were crazy in love with somebody, this is what it might look like. You may spend time together, and it goes by really quickly. Hours go by like minutes. You don't mind being with them at all. You miss each other when you're separated. You rearrange your schedule to be together. You relate everything you know and think about to the one that you love. You give to them extravagantly. You spend time together. Spending time together is not a burden. You look for ways to get more time together. You find fulfillment in each other's presence. You talk about everything you like. You don't like to be alone. You want to be with them as much as you can. Your loved one has no competition for your affection, and you appear foolish when others think you're crazy because you love this person so much. You read his or her love notes over and over and over again. Okay, some person crazy in love with somebody else, right? Here's the question. Do we act like we're in love with God? Not romantically, but think about that. Do you miss being with him? Do you want to be in his presence? Do you want to spend time with him? Do you want to read his love letters, which would be the Bible, right? Do you want to connect with him in worship? Do you miss that? Does your soul miss that when you don't have it? And I'll be honest, I don't. I feel very different about my wife than I do about God, right? And I love her kind of like this book is talking about, but I don't feel that way toward God, but in my heart, I'm like, wow, do I really love him? Like, all right, well, maybe it doesn't have to be romantic, but shouldn't I at least want to spend time with him? Shouldn't I miss when I don't connect with him? And I think, you know what? I believe the lies, and I do life on my own, and I leave God behind, and I look back, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, why did I ditch him? Why did I just, whatever? And then I'll have a moment where I come back to him, like, God, I'm sorry. I need you, and I love you, and I care about you. Help me focus on what matters, because so many things pull my attention away. Do you guys feel that? Do you feel like a lot of things pull your attention away? All right, the keys to success. The key to success, a daily time with God with a teachable spirit. That's a good one. I'm not even going to read Exodus. There's your fill-in. It says day. I'm going to skip ahead. All right, you'll never outgrow your diet of Scripture. Renew your mind with his word. So I've got a little picture of a mousetrap. So the goal is to spend time with God, right? And to spend time in his word. Here's a quick question. What bait is on the mousetrap that keeps you from spending time with God? All right, give me some answers. Electronics are on the mousetrap and they steal your time away from God, okay? What else tempts you to not spend time with God? And we talked about this in our middle school group, I think, last week. What's that? Sports. Okay, maybe you got a busy schedule. Maybe it's after school activities, sports, pulling your time away. Maybe that's on the mousetrap for you. What else? School. Okay, you're there a lot, right? Takes a big chunk of your day. Takes a lot of your focus, a lot of your energy. But take God with you. You don't have to leave him behind. You can walk throughout the day and take God with you and, you know, pray in between classes and ask him for help and try to grow when you've got a moment to do that. Anything else would be the temptation for you? What's the cheese on your mousetrap that sucks your time away from God? Well, it might be a good question to answer in your life groups later. All right, we're going to move ahead. All right, so there's an illustration about, picture this. You've got a little test tube vial, and it's empty, okay? Except for it's full of air and gas, okay? Invisible stuff. How do you get the air out of the test tube? Yeah. So let's say you fill it with water. What does the water do? It forces all the air out. And that's what memorizing scripture can do for your brain. Okay? Your brain is full of all kinds of messed up ideas and thoughts and weird things. Okay? Simple stuff and distracting stuff. It's like that air. And you pour in scripture. You pour in the Bible. You pour in the things of God. Right? And that fills up your mind. It pushes out the bad and brings in the good. Okay? All right, here's one. How can a young man keep his way pure? By obeying your commands, I keep your law in my heart is the fill-in there. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. That's in Job. The eye is the lamp of the body. That's Matthew 6. And then I want to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. He must become greater. I must become less. Filling your mind and heart with scripture. You guys, you got that key ring. That's what that's for, to put some good words and thoughts and ideas into your mind. So I would encourage you as a life group, pick some of those to memorize together and work on that. All right, so here's the next part. Open up to others. What is the point of all this if you're not going to let it change you? Well, I guess this whole idea is about accountability. We've talked about that a lot around here. How do you do that? Check this out. I want you to turn to the Appendix 2 in your book. Leaders, I'm going to encourage you to turn there too. You're going to want to see this as a reference. Appendix 2 is a whole section on how to have an accountability group, what kind of questions to ask, what kind of follow-up to do, what kind of goals to set. Okay? If accountability seems weird and you're not sure what it is, basically it's one or two friends, maybe a third, asking tough questions about life in areas that you struggle. You struggle with too much technology or internet or video games or how you're spending your time or whatever. Ask somebody to check in with you. Hey, how much time did you spend this week? Or hey, did you spend any time with God this week? Or hey, how was your attitude with your mom and dad this week? Or hey, I know you went out with that girl this weekend. Were you good? Were you clean? Did you honor her? Did you honor God? Asking tough questions about that, right? Hey, I know you're struggling with drinking or smoking or drugs or something else. Hey, are you clean or did you mess around with that stuff this weekend? Did you look at inappropriate stuff on the internet this week? Let me check your browser history. Like, you get some real solid accountability. And it's good, it's private, but you need to do it with the same gender person and somebody who's a Christian following God also, all right? And maybe you do that with somebody who's a little older than you, or maybe it's just a peer, one-to-one. Maybe it's a quick text at night. Maybe you struggle at night when you're alone, or maybe it's in your bedroom, and you just check in with a friend, and they check in with you. Need a quick look at that? Look at that appendix, too. We'll give you some good ideas on how to do that. Cool? All right, I'm going to cruise through. Your fill-in there is along, love and peace, along with those who call on the Lord. All right, so here's some quick application. How do you apply that part? Well, I'd say pick one or two friends to ask you tough questions. And in that blank space that you've got in your booklet, right now, think of what is one or two friends that you would feel comfortable enough saying, hey, would you check in with me about my personal life? Would you check in with me about this? Maybe it's one category. Ask me about fill in the blank. All right, and then win the battle with principles. Is this last section. A principle is simply a standard or guideline you live by for a specified time. And at the bottom, a principle is powerful because you make the decision once and then you abide by it. That makes it sound super easy, but here's the idea. If you really want to love God and grow, you got to obey him. You got to follow what he puts out in the Bible and the guidelines for our living. All right, you guys, we're running out of time, so I'm just going to cruise through this. Here's some samples. You can grab those fill-ins if you want to. Church is the first one. Avoid revealing. And then physical is the bottom one. Some examples for accountability, questions you could ask. And the Bible verse is, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. All right, you guys grab those. I know it's a ton. It kind of feels like schoolwork. I know. I apologize for that. All right, I'm going to cruise to the end here, all right? If you need the fill-ins later, you can ask a friend, or I'll put the slides back up for you. All right, so let me tell you this. One, having a relationship with God was our first part. Reaching up, reaching in was growing. That whole section we just did on growing, spending time with God, accountability, stuff like that, following God's principles. And then this last section is, what do you do next? What do you do after that? It's help somebody else grow. Multiply your faith by sharing it with other people. Reproducing that relationship. So Matthew 28, pretty famous section, says go and make disciples. A disciple is a follower. So go and make followers of God, basically. If you're truly growing, you can't contain God as the fill in there. His word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding in. Indeed, I cannot. Then this famous one in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I'm going to close with this illustration. Have you guys seen the TV show Extreme Home Makeover? Where they get a family who's struggling, and the show comes in and either tears down their house and builds a brand new one or remodels it completely. One of the cool moments in that show is when the bus parks in front of the brand new spanking awesome house that's totally tweaked out with amazing features. And the camera's on the people, right? And then what do they shout? They shout, move that bus, right? And when they do that, usually the cameras zoom in on the faces of the family that's going to get this new spanking awesome ranch or, you know, castle or, you know, what. Some of them are pretty amazing, right? You know, like 5 or 6 bedrooms, 3-car garages, you know, with a hot tub in the back and a party room. And, yeah, it's flat screen TVs in every bedroom. Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff, right? Here's the thing. There's a little picture. You can see the joy and excitement on those people's faces, right? So let me turn it on us, right? What happens if you go out in the sun? Right? So the next day, people can see that you were out in the sun. Why? Because the color of your skin has changed, right? So here's the weird spiritual analogy, right? if you're hanging out with the Son, S-O-N, Jesus, right, do you look different? Like, do people notice that you've been with God because of what comes out of you or what's on your face, right? When you've been exposed to the Son, it should be noticeable, right? Now, I'm hoping after you spend some time with God, you don't come back with a sunburn, okay? Unless it was just a really awesome walk on the beach, right? All right, it says, imitate me, then just as I imitate Christ, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. The fill in there is everything is intended. And then we'll wrap it up. Everything. Yes, everything. All your relationships, all that you are about, all of it is for his glory. The new awakening that begins in you will begin to spill over and ignite awakening all around you. All right, guys, I know there's a lot of information. There's a lot of Larry talking. I'm going to give you time to go to life groups. You got gummy bears for your snack tonight, which would be kind of fun. Same groups that we've been doing for the summer. We're going to mix groups up here probably at the end of September. Got some new leaders that are going to be joining us hopefully soon. Let me pray for us, and you guys can send somebody up to get your gummy bears and hope you have a good life group time. All right, let's pray. God, thanks that you love us. Thanks that you want to forgive us. Thanks that we can have a friendship with you. God, thanks that you want us to grow. Would you help us to do the hard work of growing, of spending time with you, of living it out, of obeying you? And would you help us not to just keep that in, but then to multiply it and share it and help other people grow and know you too? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.